to get closer to Him. I appreciate men of God. I love men of God. I'm trying to glean something from this man's ministry while he's here this week. But everybody with one consent say, God bless for the born. Hallelujah. Have your liberty tonight.
I'll try to be kind to the time. Emphasis on try. The God that we're serving is very present here tonight. Bereed, it's been good to be here. And I hope that I have helped somebody. If I can't help anybody, I certainly don't want to hurt anybody. It's good to have had Mother and Dad with us this week. We don't get to see them very often. And it's been an enjoyment to be close with them and my brother Joel. We're just believing good things are going to happen. And good things is what we've got to have. If this church will stay bonded together, there is no limit to what God will do where you're concerned. It's very possible He will ask the question, why did we build so small? You stay bonded. Well, I want to preach on a very sobering subject tonight in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23. 2 Samuel 17, 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. From that scripture tonight, I want to use for a thought suicide. Suicide. Before you jump to conclusions, let me clarify what I'm going to say to you. While it's bad that people would take their own life, it's worse that they would take their life into their hands and not serve God. You say, well, I don't see how it could be bad or as bad. When we don't serve God, we, in essence, commit suicide. And I, for the next little while, I'm going to try to convince you that there are some things that will utterly and completely destroy you. And whether you've heard this message preached by one or by 15, I feel the Holy Ghost has prompted me in this direction. For whatever reason, I want to deal with what I term the most destructive force in our ranks, and that is bitterness. Bitterness will kill you while you stand on your feet. And if you can't get bitterness out of your heart, you will not be the only one who won't survive. You nor any of your children will survive. You will be the demise of every one of them. And in essence, it will be a suicidal pact that you have made. And you cause all of them to die the same death as you. I'm not just talking to gray-haired people here today. I'm talking to every one of you. Myself included. You show me a person who don't serve God for whatever reason, I can almost 100% of the time show you where they got bitterness in their heart and they never got victory over it. Come on now. They never got victory over it. While I love my children, I love my grandchildren, and my children tell me that I'm not as hard on my grandchildren as I was on them. Y'all ever heard that before? I tell them that I have learned by my mistakes. They still don't accept that. But I want to tell you a little story. This man, you know, I have 10 grandchildren and one due tomorrow. And I'm going to California to try to be with my daughter. Wife's already there. But grandchildren has a way of gaining control of you. All that they can. And they're pretty sharp. But there was this man one time. He had a beautiful granddaughter. And he loved her like I'm sure that you love yours. And he had talked to her many times about the future, and to encourage her to make sure that when she got to that age that she would get married, that she would get the right one. And everything had to be just right. He had taken her especially to him. And he loved her with all of his heart. And as she began to grow, and when a boy come around, he had offered his grandfatherly advice. Now, that's not the one. I think we need to be a little more patient, because there's something better down the road. And then the time come that she did choose a young man and married him. And then their marriage brought on a love that she had for her husband. And then one day tragedy struck in that home. And this husband got killed. And this grandchild that he loved so much was his heart. He went to her and he said, "Sweetheart, you can come live with Grandpa." And she said, "No, I don't want to live with Grandpa. I'm going to move. I'm going to move away." He said, "Well, there's no need of you moving away. You're right here at home. You just stay here. You can come and move in with me." And she said, but you don't understand. I'm going to have a baby. And he knew that the dead had died, and quickly his mind began to calculate and everything didn't add up. So he asked the question, "Who in your sorrow has taken advantage of you? Who in your grief has taken you and destroyed you?" And she said, "Well, I can't tell you, Grandpa. But the best thing for me to do is just move away, because of all of the anguish it's going to cause you all." And so he began to press her. He said, "Now, if you'll tell me who this is, I'll take care of him. You know, when you're dealing with that little grandbaby that's grown up, you still, you'd fight for her." And this man becomes so angry. He said, "You tell me who it is, I will end his life. He won't ever take advantage of another person in their grief." And so she was packing her things in the suitcase. And he said, "Please, baby, don't leave." And he kept pressing her. And finally she said, "Well, Grandpa, it was your boss. It was the man you worked for." And he stopped a minute. He said, "Surely, surely, the man that I work for wouldn't do such a horrifying thing to my grandbaby." He said, "Yes, it was your boss. It was David. For you see, this was Bathsheba, who was the granddaughter of Ahithophel." And from that moment, Ahithophel set a plot where he would bring David down. If it took him the rest of his life, he said, "I will get even with him. He will never get away with this. I will destroy his kingdom." You see, Ahithophel was not just a man in the kingdom. He was the national security advisor. If anything was going on in any part of the world, Ahithophel knew about it. He was a genius in surveillance. He had men planted in all parts of the kingdom. And if anything was going wrong, Ahithophel knew about it. And they would report to Ahithophel, and he would report to David. "David, there is insurrection arising over here. We need to put it down." Because, you see, Ahithophel was a national security advisor to David. And when this story come out, It was then that Ahithophel decided, and he started a plot. I have heard all of my life the story of the son of David who caused such insurrection in the kingdom. Who am I talking about? Who? Absalom. Absalom, the young man who tried to overthrow his dad. Let me tell you another side to that story. Ahithophel went to Absalom and began to set a plot against the dad. He would go to Absalom and say, "No, your daddy doesn't trust you." And then he would turn around and he would go to David and he would say, "David, do you realize what Absalom is doing? I think you better keep a tight watch on him. You see, I'm the national security advisor, and I see some things and hear some things that Absalom is doing. So if I were you, I would watch him." And so he put a variance between father and son. And as a result, Absalom began to do things watching his daddy. And then David would notice these things, and then Absalom would watch his dad, and then he would say, "Well, you know, Ahithophel was right. Daddy is watching me. He doesn't trust me." And then he would go to Absalom and he'd say, "You know what, Absalom? You're smarter than your dad. And the people are really rallying to you. And I think because they rally to you, we need to start setting you up as the next leader of this country." And then Ahithophel would go back to David and say, "David, Absalom is setting himself up to be the king." And this thing began to build, stacking brick on top of brick, until it wasn't long until Absalom was thrown into the middle of a civil war between father and son. Ahithophel went to David and said, "David, I think we need to put Absalom out of this country. We need to annihilate him from the power that he is trying to get. Therefore, we need to..." What's the word? "We're going to put him in exile." And he convinced David of this. And David sent him to another country and said, "You must stay there." And he put him over there for a period of 3 years that he could not even come home to his family. Let me tell you what Satan will do to you. He will pit you against your best friend. And then he will pit you against God. And he will tell you, "You know what? God hadn't been fair with you. You may charge me wrong for this message tonight, but if I can take one person, whether it be a family, a man and wife, a parent, a grandparent, or if it's just a young lady or a young man, if I can awake them to realize bitterness will bring you down to the pits of hell. And when it has destroyed you emotionally and physically, it will destroy you totally. There is nothing worth charging you or charging God for your concern. God is fair. God is just. And what God does, He knows what He's doing. And Satan is pitting you against God and telling you that God was not fair where you're concerned. But God is fair. You said, Brother Bourne, you don't understand. I understand God is a God of love. And sometimes tragedy strikes in our home, and Satan takes advantage of that to put enmity between us and our God. And bitterness, for whatever reason, will bring you down to the ground. And eventually you will have hate towards yourself and everybody else because you have not been dealt a fair share. Oh God. Ahithophel then began to set the stage. He said, Absalom, I'm going to do everything I can to bring you back home. And then he would go tell David, David, Absalom is trying to make a master plan to get back home. And then he would go back to Absalom and said, I'm going to tell your father that you should be back. And then I'm going to set the stage for you to come back. You see, Absalom was not necessarily the villain in this case. He became the subject of a warped mind that destroyed a kingdom. I'm going to preach it, whether you like it or not, honey. Absalom, then Ahithophel, we're talking about 5 years had passed, 6 years had passed, 8 years had passed, 10 years had passed, and still Ahithophel was working this major chess game to bring about a place where David would die. And now David is married to Bathsheba. Children have been born. And Ahithophel still is masterminding a plan to bring down this grandson-in-law and also the king. Hallelujah. Oh, Ahithophel didn't even like the fact that David went to him and fell down on his face before him and says, I've done you wrong, Ahithophel. And then through a greedy mind, he would say, well, it's all right. But down deep inside, he was planning to kill him by whatever means was possible. And he thought, I'll even get his own son to kill him. And I'll stand back and I'll never have to dirty my hands. Oh, God. So Ahithophel said, you know what? And he worked a plan where Absalom was back in the country. And then he told Absalom, he said, you know, the people are really rallying to you. And says, matter of fact, there's thousands of them that wants to go with you into war. He pitted David to the place that he would put him in charge and make him a general in the army and send him out. And then give him 12,000 men. And then went to David and said, David, do you know that Absalom has 12,000 man army standing ready to fight and take your kingdom? And then he would say, you know, he was protecting David. He said, now Absalom, take your 12,000 men and go down to a certain place down in Hebron. So he went down there. And so Ahithophel went running to David. He says, Absalom has 12,000 men down in Hebron because he knows you're going to be there next week. And said, he's going to ambush you and he's going to kill you. Oh God. Then they got the prophets of the Lord involved. I want you to prophesy. And so they brought the men of God who had prayed and fasted. And they began to ask them.
Ahithophel had him one who would prophesy like he wanted. David had one that would prophesy the words of the Lord, and they begin to pit them one against the other. God is moving, God is not moving. This is real, this is not real. You better watch this, this is okay, this is not okay. God said, God didn't say. God did say, God, yes he did. No, he didn't. And the first thing you know, there was a religious war going on.
Hallelujah. I don't know that God is through with me here yet. Oh, dear God. There is a war raging in the mind of somebody here tonight. And you need victory over that battle that you are facing. You may be a grandpa, you may be just a dad, or you may be a single person who is charging God for a mischief that really was not God's fault. Some things just happened. Satan will magnify those things and make it look like... You see, he is that chief advisor to all that's going wrong. That has been snatched away from you and left you barren of hope and a future. And if he can take you and get you pitted against the Spirit where you can never get involved again, he will drag you down through the cesspools of idolatry and iniquity, and your mind will be destroyed. And some way I am going to, by the help of the Spirit, to pull you from that grasp of the spirit of Ahithophel. Ahithophel don't like a move of God, and he don't like pastoral authority, and he don't like the movement of the Spirit where a man walks in the Spirit. He doesn't like that. And Brother Reed can stand here and say, well, God allowed things. Well, you don't understand, Brother Reed. I'm the one hurting. Tragedy has struck in this church numerous times. And some of you still suffer the pain of those tragedies. I can't even imagine the pain that you're going through. I can't. I've not been there. My life has been good. I've not lost a child. I've not lost a grandchild. I've not suffered the hurt of having to follow a coffin to the grave. I've not even buried my precious mother and dad yet. I don't even know that feeling. Many of you know that in a personal sense. I don't even know that yet. Some of you know what it is to follow a little bitty coffin and watch it lowered down into the ground. You understand the hurt that I don't understand. I've never lost a brother. I've never lost a sister. I don't know. I'm being honest with you. I don't know what you're going through. I do know what the Holy Ghost is telling me, that he wants to help you. Because the spirit of Ahithophel is telling you God has been unfair with you. But let me emphasize tonight, God has not been unfair. Because God is a very fair God. Ahithophel set the stage. He said, David, what you need to do is go down and hide in the cave of Adullam. He said, if you go down there and hide, he won't be able to find you. And so David takes his men and goes down and hides in the cave. And then Ahithophel gets on his horse and rides fiercely to where Absalom is. And he says, Absalom, now he's hid in a cave down there. And if you go down and wait, he's got to come out eventually. That's the only exit. And if you'll sit there and wait, he's coming out. And he says, when his men sees your 12,000 men army arrayed around that mountain peak and that valley covered with your men, he said, they'll begin to run. He said, let them all go through except David. And said his heart will melt like butter because he'll know you've got him. The prophet of the Lord come to David and said, David, Ahithophel is doing a very foolish thing.
And the Bible says in the same chapter that David fell on his face before God. And he said, Lord, let the counsel of Ahithophel become foolishness in the eyes of my son. All of a sudden, David woke up and realized, my boy is not doing this. This is Ahithophel. Let his counsel become foolishness. All of a sudden, way over here on the other side, down by the cave, Absalom and his men are readied for battle to take the life of his own dad. And all of a sudden, Absalom says, bring me the prophet. The prophet come in. He said, I want you to pray. I've got a funny feeling about this. And the prophet of the Lord, hallelujah, he didn't just get the one he had hired. He brought in the man he had confidence in. And all of a sudden, the man of God said, this is not of God. And don't follow the counsel of Ahithophel. Don't kill your daddy. And so Ahithophel come riding in. And Absalom looked at him and he says, for 14 years, you've plotted me against my daddy. And you tried to bring down this kingdom by your advice. And I will not follow your advice, and I am not going to take the life of my daddy. You think, you said my daddy's heart would melt like butter. He said, the heart of my dad is like a lion. He said, if he's the last one standing, he said, I'd never defeat him because he would come out fighting. And as long as he had breath, he would hold his sword to fight to the last man. Said, he alone would destroy these 12,000 men that I got following me. He said, because he's got the heart of a lion, not the heart of butter. And then the Bible says, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he got on his animal and rode home, set his house in order, and hanged himself. This is the last stage that Satan sets where you're concerned. And if Satan can ever convince you and get bitterness in your heart toward any person, I don't care how bad they've done you, you need to get to a place where you can fall on your face and cry, God bless them. You have got to reach a point in your life that you can raise your hands towards heaven and say, God, I want you to help them financially. I want you to help them physically. God, I have not been right in my heart towards them. I have been filled with bitterness. And bitterness is not going to bring me down. Hallelujah. Bitterness is not going to bring me down. I am not going to commit a suicidal pact with Satan. My Jesus, have mercy. My Jesus, have mercy. Ahithophel, what in the world's going on? David by this time had a young man who was wise even in his youth by the name of Solomon, who would one day rule the kingdom. Come on now. His grandson, he was pitting himself for the destruction of the kingdom. God does not want this church destroyed, but if he can keep one little bit of bitterness, one towards the other, or one towards God, or one towards a past situation, he will bring this church to complete annihilation. You have got to pray for your enemy and those who despitefully use you and do all manner of evil against you. We have got to get to a place where nothing, past is past. David is now married to that beautiful girl. Ahithophel, face the facts. Life is going on. Hallelujah. You have got to reach a point where you can talk to someone even if they let you down. even if you know they're going to let you down, you have got to get to a place where you can break out and spill your guts to them. You say, well, I don't trust anybody. I've been there. I've been there. But I had to reach a place that I could tell someone my problems and troubles, even if I felt they would let me down, because I was, in essence, eating myself from the inside, and I was destroying myself, and I could not live. God had to help me. Some of you folks is not listening to me tonight. You're not going to survive. The only way you'll survive is you turn it over to the Lord. The only way you'll survive is you turn it over to the Lord. You will not make it on your own. You've got to say, Lord, I'm committing this to you. I can't do it on my own. You have got to reach a place where you cannot hold against anybody, anything. And you've got to get to a place where you can look up to God and say, God, you're fair. I just misunderstood the precepts. Hallelujah. We have got to reach that place where nothing interferes with what God is doing in our lives. We have got to reach a place where we can say, God, you're right. I was wrong. Roderick don't even make a decision before he talks to me, because I had faith in him, and now he's got faith in me. And now his parents are in the church, and they're serving God. And her family's coming. One is already praying. And we're going to win all of them. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there is a spirit that goes along with what I'm saying. Hallelujah. It's not an amazing thing that God would let me talk about Roderick. Is it? Because all of a sudden I feel like I have won. Y'all look at me like a bunch of hoot owls in a tree. I say, I've won. I've won. Roderick, we've won. He kind of a Messiah. You know what? Would you do what I tell you to do? Would you do what I tell you to do? I want you to go to your mother and hug her neck and tell her, I've won. In this moment, listen to me. Let them go ahead. But now there's some others here that have a similar battle. Maybe not in the same area. But we're fixing to win that battle for your concern. You're not where you need to be with God because you've allowed something to stand between you and your walk with God. But when we leave this place tonight, it's going to be different because we're fixing to win. Is that Brother Foster over there? Are we winners, Brother Foster? Is it Foster? Ooh. Saying we're winners.
Yes, sir.
Saying we're winners. I say we're winners. Brother Joel, we've already won that battle. I say we're winners. We've already won that battle. Give me 5 more minutes. Oh, God, I know it's 5 minutes to 10, and I'll try to quit at 10, but... Oh, Lord, have mercy. God will heal you. Santa Kaya Lama. Just stand up and claim it, Sister Dunaway. Hallelujah. God's still on the throne. Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Who among us is fighting a similar battle? Who wants to win? I don't care how good of a person you are. You can't win without the help of Almighty God. And you need God to take you by the hand and lead you right now. Hallelujah. The battle that you're fighting, you alone can win it. And with the help of God, you will win. But you have to be victorious. Sakata la Messiah. I come against it in the name of Jesus. And God, I'm asking you to make this young man in your eyes and in his own eyes. Give him the ability to see that he can overcome. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to try to close. But I feel there's somebody up here that God wants to do a special, special thing for. And we have... Attach yourself to him, son. Yes, God. Come on, God still want to work. Made a wonderful start. You're going to make it.
Hallelujah.
You're going to make it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God, you
Oh, 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 oh